If you want to hear about the birth experience, you have to talk to the two grandmothers. They were there. Everything was done at their home. And I tell you, that's got a good midwife. That's a real nice way to do it. Mark chapter 9. People say, oh, should be done in a hospital. You know, I wonder how they did these things before 1900, clear back to Adam. If theirs was done in a hospital, it probably would have been C-sectioned. Because it took a while. So thank the Lord for a good midwife. Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark 9:14. I'm going to more or less teach this morning more than anything on a subject, the invisible war. The invisible war, but yet I want to make it visible so that when you see certain things, you can recognize these things and realize that you're dealing with an invisible war. Okay, Mark 9, verse 14, we're reading a storyline here about a little boy, and he was probably reading Harry Potter, you know, and everything, and he gets infested, and you'll see some terrible things happen to this little boy. And but yet you'll also see that the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with something invisible as he's dealing with something visible. Mark 9, verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Okay, the spirit's the invisible. The son is visible. And wheresoever he taketh him, he, the spirit, the dumb spirit, the unclean spirit, taketh him, the boy, and teareth him. He teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to my disciple, or thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. You'll see the Lord seems to be put out with his disciples. They did not know how to deal with this spiritual warfare. Verse 20, and they brought him, the boy, unto him, Jesus, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit, unclean spirit, invisible, tear him, the boy, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming, unusual, strange behavior. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child, a little kid. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Self-mutilization. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now you can see that daddy's pretty skeptical. Probably because he's taken his son to doctor, to doctor, to doctor, to psychiatrist, to this place, had to stick him in a home for a while, back and forth. Everybody's got the solution, but he can't find an answer. So you can see he's honest, he's skeptical. Okay, verse 24-25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The two last words, and fasting, are removed from all the new Bibles. The cross reference is Matthew 17:21. That entire verse is removed from the NIV. There's something about prayer and fasting. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to understand the spiritual warfare. And Lord, in this generation, as witchcraft is growing more and more in this country, I pray that you'd help us to know the spiritual warfare, know how to recognize things. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you. And during tough situations like this little boy here, I pray that you'd help us to understand the importance of praying and fasting to attain your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood," that's visible, "but we wrestle against principalities," invisible, "powers," invisible, "rulers of the darkness," invisible, "and spiritual wickedness in high places," invisible. Now, Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "My people are destroyed for," it says, "where there is no vision," Proverbs 29:18, "where there is no vision, the people perish." And so this invisible war that you and I are part of, we need to recognize, be able to recognize certain things. You and I are like sheep in the midst of wolves. And if you be a sheep surrounded by wolves, you have to be very cautious what you do. Or else you am going to become lamb chops. Okay? So this invisible war. Now, you talk to the average person on the street. Do you believe in angels? Most everybody believes in angels. Those are invisible. Okay? And so if there are angels, good beings, there obviously would have to be evil beings. And angels in Hebrews 1:14 are referred to as spirits. Now, I'm not a type of person where I'm going to, you know, whenever there's a problem, I'm not going to look under, you know, is there a devil in that? Is there a devil in there? You know, I'm not like that. But I do believe that you and I have to be more and more alert to these things, because America is becoming more and more witchcraft in their thinking with Pokemon. Pokemon is an abbreviation for pocket monster. Pokemon. It's a pocket monster where little children can believe they have a little monster in their pocket. And they have faith, and they believe these things. And are they real? Yes, they can be. And obviously Harry Potter. Harry Potter is probably the one recent tool, which is one of the most recognized tools to in the rise of the Satanic Church. And they'll tell you that, even though Christians can't figure it out. Even though the latest Pope, he's blessed Harry Potter. We appreciate that. Birds of a feather flock together, we know that. And where you have a high concentration of Catholicism, you're going to have a high concentration of witchcraft. The hometown or the town that Nico lives in Austria, when you come into the town, I forget which direction, because I got all turned around in Austria. There's a star along this main highway, and that red star is an outward approval of the local witches who have blessed or cursed that town, Feldrick, Austria. They're open about these things. And when you walk through that town, the first time we walked through that town, I noticed the women in that town, they just seem like somebody has taken a stick and have just beaten them to the pulp. Their face, if it's not all scarred up, you could just tell that they've been beaten up spiritually. So we need to understand these things. Now, you go to certain places in America, basically in places where they'll have public documents or public memorials, you can see Christianity portrayed. If you go into the governor's house of Pennsylvania, they have on the wall, they have portrayed the history of Pennsylvania as its founding. They have a picture of William Penn. They have a picture of Tyndale being burned at the stake. They have a picture of the King James Bible. This is in a governor's palace or mansion in Pennsylvania. And then it brings you right through as far as the Christianity goes. But Pennsylvania is a combination word of William Penn, Christian, Transylvania, satanic. And so you're going to have them both working together side by side. And in Pennsylvania, one of the highest parts in the state is where a little highway is run called the highway number is 666. One of the towns that 66 goes through is called Trumanage, named after Harry Truman, who was a 33rd degree Mason. And somebody asked Harry Truman what his greatest feat was in life, thinking that he was going to say president, and he said, "When I became the Grand Worshipful Master of the Lodge." Okay, and so what you're going to see in our country is a counterfeit Christianity and the devil's counterfeit basically side by side. If you go down to Indianapolis, you'll find on one side a mural of the Ten Commandments with Moses. And then if you walk around the park, you might find Mr. Little Nike sitting in there. Or the God Pan. And I've talked about the God Pan. Now, when we were in Austria, in Salzburg, there was a little park we walked into, and there's a bunch of little statues of little, not midgets, but little very short people. I think they call them gnomes. And these beings are known to be really cruel, and they like to inflict pain upon people, and they had 13 of them in this park. Now, if you know anything about numerology, you know that ain't a good number. 13. And so we need to recognize these things and understand these things. The god Pan, as in Peter Pan, was known to be a god that traveled through the country and raped little girls. That's exactly what Pan is known for. And of course, Walt Disney tries to make this thing cute, harmless, as they continue to do what they do. Now, as far as this thing called spirit, or referring to spirits, if you would go to Zechariah, the second to the last book in the Old Testament, and I want to run some verses in Zechariah. This book, Zechariah, you won't find too many commentaries on this book because it is a very difficult book. It's got some strange, very strange occurrences in it. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, "And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, 'These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth.'" There's the ever-present they. Have you ever noticed that when somebody gets blaming somebody, they always go, "Well, they did this, and they did that, and they did this." And you say, "Who's they?" You know, they. You know, that's how that works. Now, whatever these things are, they're walking to and fro in the earth. Now, does that phrase sound a little familiar if you read through the Bible? In Job chapter 1, when some angels or sons of God made appearances in heaven, and the devil showed up, and God said to the devil, "What you been up to?" And he said, "I've been walking to and fro through the earth." So this is something weird, verse 10. These are they. Verse 11. "And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, 'We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest.'" So these are some type of spirits, unclean things. If you go to chapter 4, verse 6 in Zechariah, you'll see that God's spirit is the spirit we need to rely on. Zechariah 4, verse 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, 'This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.'" So we need to rely on the Spirit of God in our efforts to live for God and deal our spiritual warfare. Now, Zechariah 5 is a very strange chapter. And if you read down through this, verse 1, you have a flying roll. All the scholars and all the commentaries tell you that this flying roll is a scroll. In other words, it's a copy of an Old Testament scriptures. Well, if that is true, then it must be Goliath's scroll, because the measurements are given in verse 2. He said unto me, "What seest thou?" I answered, "I see a flying roll." Now, if that's a Danish roll, you'll have a bunch of cops trying to catch the thing, probably. It's a donut. Okay, so I see a flying roll. It's not coming from Krispy Kreme. The length thereof is 20 cubits. Now, the average measurement for a cubit is, a cubit is from your elbow to the tip of your finger. And usually a cubit will run whatever the king is at that time. A royal cubit, as far as what Moses wrote about, is 20.62 inches, as far as our measurements. But if you make a cubit 18 inches, which is usually what it is, about 18 inches, that's a foot and a half, and it's got 20 of them, 20 cubits, that's 30 feet. That sure is a big Bible, isn't it? All the scholars make this a Bible, a scroll of some type. And the breadth thereof, 10 cubits. So the diameter of this round thing, whatever it is, and it's flying, is 15 feet. 15 feet by 30 feet. Cigar shape. Okay, if it's a Bible, verse 3 says it's a curse. Verse 8 says it's wickedness. Verse 9 have two women coming out of it, who had the wings of a stork. And that's where you get the common saying that the stork brings the baby. That's where that comes from. What is this thing? Well, if it's flying, and the heaven identified it, that makes it an unidentified flying object. It's a curse. Now notice verse 3, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it, that roll, forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it, whatever that thing is, shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof, and so forth. The last verse of that chapter shows that this is associated with a place called Shinar. It says to build a house in the land of Shinar. That is another name for Babylon. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. We call those military bases. And we have a place thus so, like this, in our country. If you choose to do some experimentation, I would advise it. I could tell you where to go. And again, I wouldn't advise it. Okay, and this is some weird stuff in the scriptures talk about, and this will be worldwide in the tribulation. Okay, if you would, look in chapter 6, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. Now that should sound a little similar with Revelation, where you got red horses, white horses, black horses, and the death horse. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. So these spirits are walking to and fro through the earth, like we read in chapter 1. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he unto me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. So these evil spirits are going into the north country, and they are quieting God's spirit. Therefore, God's work is hindered. Now, there's a fellow that wrote a book that I do believe you have to be cautious when you read the book. And there is some New Agey philosophy kind of floating through the book. A guy named Frank Peretti wrote a book about spiritual warfare. Maybe some of you read it, but I do say that it's worthy enough to read, in that you might get a little visual of what's going on in the invisible world. Now, we take these things by faith. Now, if maybe some of you had some personal experiences where that invisible became visible, it's not something that I would really look for. But people who get on dope see these things, and drunk. When people get drunk, they may see these things, because liquor is also called spirits. We have a store down in Rensselaer, and it's a liquor store, and it's called Sanders Spirits. I don't know if it's still there, but it was called Spirits at one time. And so these things are visible at time. Now, if you would look in Zechariah 13, verse 2, when the Lord sets up his kingdom, these unclean spirits will be wiped off the land. And boy, that's going to be a good time. Nobody can say the devil made me do it in a millennium. The only thing that's left in a millennium of the three enemies of the believer, the world, the flesh, and the devil, is the flesh itself, and that's enough to cause a bunch of problems. The world will not be run by the devil or his cohorts, not in a millennium. And Jesus Christ, and the devil will be bound into hell during the millennium for 1,000 years. So who runs the show are replicas of Jesus Christ. Zechariah 13, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in that day, that's a phrase, a second coming, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Okay, so I want to give you three visible signs that you and I, when we see, we need to, at that moment, at that time, we need to be alert to the invisible war around us. And the first visible sign is already mentioned right there in verse 1 or verse 2 of Zechariah, and that's idols. Idols and images. Idols and images are forbidden according to the Ten Commandments. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And if you get around a Roman Catholic, ask them to give you the Ten Commandments, and they will skip the second one. They split the tenth one. As far as their catechism goes, number 2 is skipped, and number 10 is split, so they still get 10 commandments. Why? Because they make a lot of money off those graven images, and because also their system is a satanic system because of all the graven images. The images are a visible sign of demonic work. Now, the image itself is nothing but a piece of metal or a hunk of rock that's been graven, done, but yet a spirit, unclean spirit, will attach itself to these things. People, a lot of Americans, they foolishly, when they go to foreign countries, they buy some of these little figurines, thinking it's just some little innocent statue, and they don't realize that a devil can be attached to that thing, and they've brought that thing in their house. And this Bible says that you neither give place to the devil. The devil can take up a stronghold in an area. People talk about haunted houses. Are there such a thing? Yeah, I believe so.
There's somebody down in Rensselaer where there's some being in their house. I heard about this several years ago, but there's something in their house that they could actually feel brushed by them in the house. And at times they have said that they've seen their skin indent, but they don't see anybody touching them. Of course, they think it's kind of cute. I wouldn't think it's so cute. I would dare say if you understand spiritual warfare and you found a haunted house and somebody's trying to sell it and they can't sell it, they're scared, everybody's scared to buy the thing, maybe you can get the thing dirt cheap, going in and clean the thing out of all the devils, you know, and then maybe get the bad name off the house and then sell it several years later for a bunch of money. Just a little business adventure there. Okay, so images, idols. If you go down to Rensselaer, you go behind St. Joe College, you go past the priest house where the beer trucks stop, and they have a whole room in there where it's just stacked up, the beer trucks in there. And when you go back behind there, there's a grove back there. That's forbidden in the scriptures. And in that grove, you can worship little statues back in there and, you know, pray to Mary and all that stuff. And the thing is, when you see these idols and images, get yourself in a habit to pray for your country. Because that is the number one way to get God angry with your country. That's about like saying, you know, that's about like saying, sick them. Far as God is concerned, the way you get God upset is by the jealousy of our God is through idols and images. Now, you'll find in Europe, you go through these castles and you'll find demonic symbols all through those castles. They'll have them ingrained into stones. They'll have a little dragon in there. They'll have an owl in there. An owl is associated in the scriptures with Molech, the god Molech. They'll have a snake wrapped around a pole. The Buddhist pagoda that Brent and I went into in Vietnam has a snake wrapped around all the poles coming up to the top. There's a unique thing that goes with all of these is a red snake that goes up those things. The pyramids down in Mexico, the pyramids over there in Egypt, the pyramids in Babylon have a common trait, and they have a red dragon or a red serpent that they're worshiping. Now, if you don't know anything about the Bible, that ought to cause some alarm. Somebody's getting worship. In the pagoda that Brent and I went into in Vietnam, in the front of the pagoda is an all-seeing eye. What would they have the eye for? The evil eye. The same eye that's on the back of the Federal Reserve note, above, floating above the pyramid. It's the same thing. It's the devil's getting worship and all this stuff. If you go down to Rensselaer and you go down to the courthouse, walk around the courthouse, one of the entrances, you'll see two gargoyles right there. Those are devils overlooking the political sphere going on in that area. The devil's two main activities are religion and politics. What are the two activities we're not supposed to talk about? Religion and politics. And you see, the devil offered Jesus Christ, if the Lord Jesus Christ bowed down and worshiped Satan, religion, he would give the Lord Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world, politics. Get them both. Religion and politics. And so we need to be alert to these things. If you go up 41, you'll see Mary over there. You see, that is an idolatrous thing, and America is getting more and more idolatrous. Of course, if you want to sell your house, I don't know which one you're supposed to bury upside down in your backyard, you sell your house a little bit better. I don't know if it's Mary or St. Christopher or St. Bernard or some other dog. I don't care. But I remember Roy Leonard talking about this on WGN several years ago. Talking about selling your house. Take this statue, bury it upside down, I don't know, in the back and the front someplace. And it's, what you say, does it work? Probably. How does it work? The devil's associated with the statue influences the thinking of the people walking in the house, and they buy the house depending upon what the mind thinks. You see, the devil can give money to anybody he so chooses. Rock stars, if they want to really be blessed by the devil, they just sell their soul to him, and then he blesses their singing. and they sell their stuff that way. The devil's very wealthy. He don't care about money. He gives it out to anybody who wants it. If you go to Washington, D.C., you'll see a Washington Monument. That's a pagan thing. If you go to the Washington Memorial, you'll see George Washington, as far as his statue, in a picture like this, where he is, in essence, a replica of Baphomet, which is a pagan god. And they've got him half naked. George Washington walk around that way. Somebody has garnished the sepulchers of the men in the past. Okay, so these images, whenever you see images in your mind's eye, pray for your country. Amen. Cleanse yourself. The second area is your imaginations. Now, I know that's not a visible thing, but Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, this imagination, strange imaginations, will exalt itself in extreme violence. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And then when you keep reading down, you'll see in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence is what's associated with pagan gods. Their corruptness, they are perverted. Pagan gods are perverted. And they will believe in a sacrifice of a child. The violence. Now, when a strange feeling comes over a person, you need to guard yourself. Now, it's funny, when we read in Mark 9, when Jesus exorcised, and that's the Bible word, exorcised that devil out of that boy, it was an instantaneous thing, wasn't it? I've been reading a book a few years ago. It was about the Bermuda Triangle, and it had some strange occurrences in there, strange stories in there. And it had a story about this priest and a nun who was trying to cast this devil out of somebody, and it took him 2 weeks to do it. Can you imagine fighting that with 2 weeks? Well, they thought that was authentic because it took so long. Well, it takes so long for them because, you know, they're blowing circuit breakers, their fuses keep kicking out. And you're seeing the lower devils are trying to get the upper devils, you know, to back off and all this stuff. And finally, it's a big show. The devils put on a show, and then it convinces people. And then they wrote in the same book, they wrote that somebody where they cast the devil out and it was instantaneous, and that wasn't authentic. Well, it's authentic because the Lord Jesus Christ says, out, and you're out. You don't have to, you know, burn the candles and walk around, you know, with our little flowers. And, you know, he don't have to, you know, try to take years to get this job done. Once it's done, it's done. Strange imaginations. In Matthew chapter 16, a lot of times Christians are afraid to talk about these things, and the Christians tend to think that they are immune to these things. Matthew 16 shows that none of us are immune. Matthew 16, 21. I would dare say the Apostle Peter was a man that was close to Jesus Christ. The big three, Peter, James, and John. And you need to recognize these things and understand these things. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, Peter was a man who was willing to die for Jesus Christ. Said that many times, and no doubt he would have. You say, well, he denied Christ. We understand that. Peter wasn't trying to trip up the Lord here. Where do you get that thought? You see, we need to understand that the devil can put thoughts in our head. And so when we get a thought in our head, we have to ask ourselves, where'd that come from? God, the devil, or me?
Now, when I use the word devil, I'm obviously referring to him and his cohorts, because Satan can only be in one place at one time, and he's too busy writing a new Bible translation. That's where he spends most of his time. But even at that, I'm talking about his cohorts. They can give us thoughts. Now, can they read your mind? I don't know. I don't think so. But they have such experience with man, they can predict what you're thinking a lot of times. You see, a lot of times what happens is the way these 900 numbers work, or way sometimes fortune telling works, is that person puts a thought in your head. And then you act out that thought, but you think that that person knew the truth. But in actuality, you worked out the situation to make that thought come true. And people don't understand those things. Imaginations. When we were over there in Switzerland, Thomas was the one young fellow that, he's 33 years old, he got saved a couple years back. But he's been on dope for 15 years. Heroin, I mean, everything, you name it, he's been through it. And probably, you know, still he's still trying to come off it if he can, and who knows if he's ever going to get off it totally. It's just a tough situation. But that Saturday, when we were street preaching, Saturday night, he had some of the strangest behavior happen to him in his house. He and his mother, he's living with his mother at the time. And woke her up through the night. I mean, he had things grabbing his arms through the night. He couldn't see him, obviously, all invisible. Trying to get him back into the drug crowd and everything. His mother had some real strange stuff going on through the night. You know, physical things happening, busting up things in the house, and just weird stuff. But Nico knows how to handle these things. He knows a little spiritual warfare, and we're Bible-believing Baptists. We're not a bunch of Pentecostals or some people that believe in this deliverance stuff. You know, this deliverance stuff, they need delivered from their own problems. But we're not going to put up a shingle, because the Bible don't say, you know, don't deal, you know, just deal with it when you cross it. Know what to do, but don't put up a shingle. Oh, we believe in deliverance. I'm not going to invite them all around here. But even at that, he knew what to do and helped cleanse his house the best he could. But Thomas said, boy, that street preaching did something to me. Changed my life. And what it was is, he's out there and the devils inside him at the time don't like that this what's going on. And they don't like giving up ground that they've already won over. But you got to know how to handle these things. Imaginations. Look, if you were to Mark chapter 5. Now here's probably the greatest manifestation of demon possession in anything. Mark chapter 5. And you have some really unusual behavior. But Mark chapter 5, this is a maniac of Gadara. Verse 1, And they came over unto the other side of the sea and into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Notice singular, unclean spirit. Verse 9, that unclean spirit says, we are many. That's where you get into the split personalities and stuff. But notice verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken, neither could any man tame him. So this person could not be tamed by love. He could not be bound by judgment and hatred, shall we say. This guy was a very passive person. Strange, he don't laugh when it's supposed to laugh. Don't cry. Yeah, basically, I've seen this stuff in churches. You know, one reason I use try to throw jokes or humor in once in a while is because I'm watching the reactions. And somebody possessed with a bunch of devils, when you tell something sad, they'll sit there and go, hey, 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 hey. And if you tell something funny, they'll go, hey, 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 hey. Same reaction. And their eyes kind of pop, and their eyes kind of become glassy. They don't react normally. And this passiveness,
When you have a passiveness, when somebody can walk by street preaching and not even respond, you're dealing with major infestation. Just passive about everything. You tell them about the love of the Savior? Tell them about going to hell? No reaction whatsoever, either way. Mormon missionaries are terrible at this. You ever deal with two of them Mormon boys, and man, you can tell them anything you want, and they'll just look at you. Man, you talk about infested. I mean, the last time I dealt with a couple of them in the house, is one told me, I was trying to teach them how to be born again, and I said, the first time you got born, what'd you do? And the kid told me, I decided to get born. And that was the first time I heard that. I thought that was pretty nifty. I said, you did? You said something to your mom to get born? He said, no, when I was in the spirit world. I said, where did this come from? He said, the book of Moses. I said, well, there are five of them. Which one? He said, no, the sixth one. I said, you got another one? That was the first one on me. I said, I'd like to see a copy of that. Oh, I don't got it with me. I said, oh, rats, I'd like to see this thing. I said, so you were in the spirit world and became flesh, right? Yeah. I said, whoa. I remember reading something in this Bible about spirits becoming flesh. They're going to hell. And so before they got ready to leave the house, I just smiled and said, remember, fellas, you are of your father the devil, and you'll obey his lust. And remember, spirits, they become flesh. Go to hell. Smiled at him. No reaction from him at all. None whatsoever. Just out the door they go. No anger. No sadness. No laughing. Just, and there they go. Infested, man. They're loaded. And what that is they're just loaded with devils instead of drugs. You see, the idea of Matthew 27, verse 36, how did those people react at Calvary? How would you and I react at a lynching? I would hope we would do something. How did they react at Calvary? Matthew 27, verse 36, they sat and watched them. What kind of a person sits there and just watches the torture and beating of a human being where you don't even look like a human? It says sitting down, they just watched him. That's a passive society. Matthew 27, 36. Thought they was watching TV. No reaction. Eating popcorn, peanuts, popcorn, peanuts, back and forth, eating popcorn, watching our Savior die on Calvary. That's a major infestation of devils. The Lord's spirit has been quieted. It's been quieted because the devil's spirits have come to a full realization there, and that was part of the crucifixion. An impassive society. The thing is when you lose your fight to do right, check yourself. Because it is a fight to do right. And you got to check yourself. When you say, oh, fool on everything. Check yourself, look in the mirror, walk in there and say, you unclean spirits, get out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. Exercise your own. Why would I want some other clown doing it? When the Bible teaches us to take care of our own house. An impassive society. Now, what are the weapons the Lord has given us? Now, there are several. I've gone through these before. But you have the Word of God. Jesus Christ quoted Scripture, so you need to quote some Scripture. Prayer and fasting, Mark chapter 9 mentioned that. The blood of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9:14, cleanse your house with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you happen to notice some very unusual behavior that's out of the ordinary. And the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when you use the name of Jesus Christ, it's best to use His full name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just using Jesus doesn't cut it because there's another Jesus. Just using Christ doesn't cut it because there's another Christ. You must use the full name of Jesus Christ. Say Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19 demonstrates that. And that's where the Lord's name is magnified. Now, I'm not a charismatic, and I'm not like these guys on TV, and I'm not a deliverance guy. I don't believe in all that stuff. I believe that the way the Bible teaches it, we should understand it. We should know what to do when it crosses our path. We don't go out looking for it. But yet when it crosses our path, we must know what to do. And we're getting in a society where these things are becoming more and more prevalent. And a person must know what to do. It's the Word of God, prayer and fasting, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ. That's the weapons God has given us. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us all to recognize the invisible war, the invisible enemies. And I pray that you'd help us to know what to do and realize that the spiritual warfare is getting more and more prevalent in this country, more visible, more weird behavior, strange behavior. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand these things and use the blessed name of Jesus Christ and the glorious blood, the everlasting blood, the eternal blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. When sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And thank you for that great promise of this book. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're not going to have invitation. We'll just close with that. And we're dismissed.